poop and pee, poop and pee, poop and pee, poop and pee. You guys can't obviously hear anything.
You're doing it solo, baby.
Cool. Poop and pee, 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 poop and pee.
Cold open.
Whatever. Ah, it's fine. It works. It was in sync enough. Hey, it's your boys. Ooh, Jay-Z voice.
That's the thing that always makes me want to quit this
one. I've been doing it like 7 or 8 weeks in a row.
I say something early there.
Oh, do you? Yeah. I just pay I zone out most of the time. Hey, it's Fantasy Boys. How are y'all doing? How are you, fantasy boys and fantasy girls and fantasy trans peoples and what the fuckians and whatever the fuck.
Fantasy Zims, fantasy Zers.
Yes.
Hoosker Doos, Hoosker Don'ts.
Got your black snakes, your bottle rockets. That was a fucking a classic. One of Joe Dirt, that is.
That's a great, great movie. As far as David Spade movies go, it goes Tommy Boy, Joe Dirt.
Bench Warmers.
In my opinion.
Certain parts of Bench Warmers actually made me laugh. It's a ridiculous movie, but certain parts made me laugh. Black Sheep, I would...
Oh, Black Sheep.
You'd put above? You'd put above. I think I would, too. Yeah, I probably would, too. But okay, as far as David Spade carrying a movie, he did one good movie, and it was Joe Dirt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's it.
And I never watched the sequel, and I never will.
Oh, no, no, no. It was Schwartz, and it was in Bucky Roberts' Child Star.
Right? I watched that entire movie based on my fucking roommate at the time's recommendation. She raved about it as if it was so the fucking good. Second coming of Animal House. It was the funniest goddamn movie ever, and I watched the whole thing and hated it.
Hey, so he much. Got... I mean, he's a good comic, but, like, he fucking got movie roles way past his expiration date.
Schwartzen?
Yeah.
He still does stuff.
Yeah, with Sandler. But like,
I mean, that's all he ever did, really.
I guess.
I mean, his stuff was all, like, Happy Madison stuff. Yeah. And Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy's great. Amazing.
Nice little gem for him.
Sure.
But other than that, he's such a funny comic. And, like, the thing is, he was the funniest when he was new.
His Comedy absolutely. Central half hour was incredible.
His first one was the best.
So fucking good. It was so I don't think I've seen anything of his that I've liked since.
Yeah.
I will tell you one thing that I liked of his that was hilarious is he's on the
you
first
say
season.
Gay robot, I'm going to smack him. No,
I kind of chuckled at Gay Robot. But the last time I saw it, I was a freshman in high school. No, the one thing that he's in that's good is the first season of Norm Macdonald Live on YouTube. And he's the guest. One of the funniest like hours of
I can believe that. Yeah,
it's
that
hilarious.
Can be funny
because they're buddies, yeah, so they have like a rapport,
shooting the shit and having a good time.
Yeah. But speaking of Norm Macdonald, Netflix gave him a show, did they not?
Yes, they did.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think he's going to basically do that.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
That show,
which is
on
great.
YouTube. Yeah,
it's like it's the really only thing worth watching on YouTube, or the only thing that I consistently watched when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But. Yeah, I don't know.
You didn't watch Cobra Kai?
I did not.
Isn't that YouTube Red?
Yeah.
I don't have that.
I don't either, but I heard it's really good. Kevin Jackson, who does like the 3D visuals and stuff, and the preview stuff for Hilarities, like he's a video guy, he said Cobra Kai was actually really good.
I thought it was G.I. Joe for a long time.
No. Yeah.
Just Cobra. Karate Kid.
Cobra!
Right? I've never seen The Karate Kid. Or The Karate Kid 2.
What about the Hillary Swank one? Is that two?
That's three.
It's three? I've seen that one. I've seen one
I've
and
seen
three.
Them all.
I don't think I've seen two.
Hillary Swank, I don't. Did she do a reboot?
No, she did just a sequel.
Oh, really?
I think it was still Mr. Miyagi in that one.
Oh.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Million Dollar Baby.
They did a reboot with Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
By the way, Jackie Chan, giant homophobe, apparently, in it. And I love Jackie.
Really?
Chan. Yeah, yeah. He, like, disowned his daughter for being gay.
What?
Yep.
And Morgan Freeman's getting called out now?
I mean, I saw... I
the
think
Morgan
it was,
Freeman thing doesn't shock me at all.
I want to say it was Robbie Bourne, maybe, that just tweeted this out about, like, it was like a surprise the guy that fucked his stepdaughter until she got murdered by her boyfriend was a part of the Me Too movement.
What?
Yes!
I forgot about the murder part.
Step-granddaughter.
Step-granddaughter,
and then she got murdered.
He banged her?
Yes! Yeah. His step... Like, Woody Allen shit. Just goes to show you how far along you can get in the... You can go 80 years if you have a soothing voice.
Right.
You know? I'm Jim fucked.
Jeffries hasn't been on one of his albums. It was never on one of his specials, but about like Elvis Marion, or pretty much taking Priscilla Presley when she was 14.
Oh yeah, she was younger. She still looks decent. That's Jerry how young Lewis she married, fucking.
Like a 14-year-old Charlie Chaplin. He's like, my question is all the rock how talented songs. Do you have to be to fuck a kid?
You have to have a song on 98.5 WNCX. That's a free pass to fuck kids. If it's in heavy rotation, you probably fucked a 14-year-old.
Golden Earring never fucked kids.
Well, come on. When the bullet hits the bone, you're telling me that that's not a fucking treatsy on serial killers?
Radar Love is my favorite song ever. I'm not even joking.
Really?
It's my
really?
Favorite song ever, yeah.
It's in a good Simpsons scene where they go...
well, I remember Homer singing it.
Yeah. No, it's where Milhouse, where they're like messing with the fucking...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
where they... I thought Homer sang that.
No, it's when they're
he's
going...
He's saying Feel Like Making Love.
Yeah.
Oh, the best...
It's when they're going on... like a spring break thing, right? And they're driving the car? Is that it?
Yes. The best... Yeah. Is this a... Hold on.
We're not going to be able to hear it.
I'm trying to fix that.
I mean, I did hear buzzing.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. You won't be able to hear it. Shit.
All son right. of a bitch.
God damn it.
That's but, okay.
Or he's like, you don't know Grand Funk? The bong rattling bass of Don Brew. The competent drumming of Mark Farmer. The competent is the best. Oh man, I don't know. I'll edit and post.
But I think the worst of all those pedophile like rock legends has got to be the Great Balls of Fire guy,
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, it was because it was his cousin, and she was like 13.
I mean, like all Jimmy Page, like
yeah, like the girls in what's it called?
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous. Those were all supposed to be like 15, 16-year-old girls. Like
Lori Maddox. What's Jimmy Page's girl's name?
Yeah.
She was, like, famous for fucking all those guys. Like, Clapton and Bowie.
Keith Richards, if I'm not mistaken.
I just recently watched, I think it's Cocksuckers Blues. Whatever the tour that they're on for Exile on Main Street. The movie that they used to only be able to show once a year at, like, the Louvre or something like that. It's on YouTube now, but like, who gives a fuck? But like, they are so coked out, it's like almost unlistenable. Like, they're not in tune. Like, they. Mm-hmm. It's like,
have you seen the Last Waltz?
Yes.
The Last Waltz is fucking amazing. Yes, I've never seen it. Oh, I highly recommend it. And you love that kind of music. And Van Morrison comes out and does a song with them. He does Caravan with them, and it's amazing.
Really?
It's amazing.
I can't believe I haven't seen it.
He fucking destroys
Scorsese
it.
Scorsese directs.
It's Scorsese directed. It's the band.
Yeah.
They played with Bob Dylan for a long time, and then they all kind of decided this is probably not good for us to be doing this together.
Well, Richard, who was their keyboard player? Richard Manuel, he killed himself in like 86. So, was he in that movie?
This was before 86.
Okay, all
right. This
was it was right around. I thought
this
it was like,
70s. This
oh, was
game.
In the 70s?
Yeah. I want to say 76.
All right, never mind.
Yeah, it was like in the heat of all of it, right?
Like, yeah, like they were very popular and so decided good. To step down. So, they come out, they play, you know, like The Weight and shit like that. But then they have Bob Dylan comes out and plays a song with them. Joni Mitchell's there. Eric Clapton comes out, if I'm not mistaken. Can't remember, but Van Morrison, a lot of huge names come out, and Neil Young comes out. And as I understand it, there was like a cocaine room in the back. They did this in San Francisco. They had all these like Groucho Marx masks for people to just like put on and do cocaine. And Neil Young comes out, and in the current version of The Last Waltz, they had to digitally edit out a coke booger from his nose. But you can see his jaw and his eyes going a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
And you can see him kind of smiling and nodding at them. And you can see the band in the back making, like, sniffing motions and looking at each other and then motioning towards Neil Young. It's so fucking... He plays Helpless. It's a really great performance.
Why remove that? Why not just leave it?
I don't know.
Real late at night last night on Access TV, they have the classic albums or whatever, and they had the band was on it. And it made me listen to that a little bit today. The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. Great fucking song.
Yeah.
So problematic in 2018. You know what I mean? But, like, it's fucking... It's like, oh, this song always used to fucking really move me. But no, it's about, you know, the people that tried to enslave black people, trying to give them sympathy.
The show was in 1976. Yeah, Clapton was there. Muddy Waters was there.
Well, all those guys, like, in the early 70s in, like, Laurel Canyon, was it that? Like,
oh, yeah, Crosby, yeah, Stills, that's right.
Yeah, it's like that kind of, like, soft rock, kind of country-ish shit.
But Neil, like, Diamond, Dr. John.
Oh, yeah, Neil Diamond is in that movie, too. But they all, like, fucking, like, could you, I don't know how some of those guys lived as long as they did. Like, and they were doing coke.
They're still alive, yeah.
I know, exactly. They were doing coke, like, 365 days a year.
Can't imagine there's that much stress in your life. You just go around playing music and living.
That's a good point. I mean, like, I'm sure everybody.
Nobody was standing around with camera phones recording them all the time.
Oh, yeah, that would suck to be, like, so that level celebrity overdose today. You'll
live forever.
And, like, never have any privacy. There's that picture.
Yeah, but now nobody has privacy anyway, so it doesn't matter. They're
but nobody's
pioneers.
Like, filming me as I eat lunch.
You don't know that.
Well, I'm sure the U.S. government is, probably. I tried to make an assassination joke today on Twitter in the most, like, delicate way possible.
I did not get it whatsoever.
Because, like, so, let me read it to you. I guess it's very convoluted. You're right. I'm kind of out of my mind right now. The joke is, the biggest mindfuck of the Trump administration is that it's been made painfully clear now that Lee Harvey Oswald really was the lone gunman. Apologies to the CIA, FBI, Mafia, and any other shadowy cabal of deep state actors I have disparaged over the years. Meaning that, like, if they haven't assassinated Trump yet, like, they definitely didn't assassinate Kennedy.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, I kind of followed it.
Yeah.
I did not.
But I also didn't want to, like, write assassination. Even though I've said it on a digital platform that they could fucking just do. You know who Jake Flores is?
No.
He's a comic out of New York. But he had, like, a joke on Twitter recently about killing ICE officers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Homeland Security visited him.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. He had a joke on Twitter about killing ICE officers. I don't know what it is. But the next day, Homeland Security fucking, like, knocked on his door and, like, yeah, they're like, you have 10,000 Twitter followers, you can't do that. And, like, they didn't arrest him or anything, but
they just wanted to scare him.
It's like, fucking, that's scary as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good, though. I think that should be out there, that you shouldn't make death threats.
I mean, it's not, you're clearly a comic, and it's clearly a joke.
Yeah, but I know comics that it might not seem like such a joke, so it just, There's other ways to make your point without saying you're going to kill someone.
But it wasn't, like, a...
About one person, but you're talking about killing
something.
It was something
more nuanced than what I'm describing it right
now. Okay.
I see your point, but, like, you shouldn't be fucking visited by Homeland Security for a fucking... That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you did put it out there into the ether, though. Like, it's not like they were really invading any of his privacy. He
put it there, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, fine.
Still be dumb.
I mean, Trump said he could kill someone.
Yeah, exactly.
You,
the president fucking...
But, yeah.
Did you see they pulled out of the fucking North Korea?
Yeah, I saw that. And I knew that was going to happen.
Hilarious. Of course it was going to happen.
It wasn't even... It probably wasn't ever scheduled.
They made the coin! That's the funniest part. They made the commemorative coin.
Oh, yeah? I haven't seen that.
Oh, yes!
I haven't seen that.
They literally made a commemorative... The White House. It's for sale on White House...
Whitehorse.com.
Remember when that was a thing?
Oh, Whitehouse.com.
It's like, no, I was just trying to visit the fucking White House, Mom and Dad. I'm sorry, there was tits on the intro screen that I couldn't get into anyways, but I still beat off because I was in sixth grade.
Is that how you explained it to your parents?
Yeah, exactly in that voice, too. I was 11, and I was still talking like that. But yeah, they made, like, I guess, like, for, like, summits, I didn't even know that this was a thing. But for, like, summits and, like, important things, they come up with, like, commemorative coins or whatever. And the White House was doing it. It's a picture of, like, Trump and Kim Jong-un, like, fucking facing off. It's, like, the peace summit or whatever in Singapore.
White House gift shop website crashes after discounting commemorative U.S.
Yeah, Korea they did, and then they put it on discount today.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then everybody wanted one, obviously.
Yeah, because it's...
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Those are, like, those shirts for, like, championships.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Prices dropped from $24.95 to $19.95.
Oh, I would love to get
it. It was so good of a deal that the gift shop website crashed hours after Trump's announcement. That's not why. It wasn't because it was a good deal. It was because
the irony factor.
It's a hilarious memento now.
Oh, it's so sad that like the world's going to end soon, because in about 5 years, the appreciation of those things would be fucking out the roof. Ugh. Hilarious, though.
It is hilarious.
As I said, anyways, if it would have gone down, it would have just been like Nicholson and Mars Attacks, where like you would have gotten killed in a funny way.
This is sort of like a commemorative coin, looking wise. I bought this to wear at Cody's wedding as I officiated.
Oh, a bolo tie?
Nice. A bolo tie. Fuck yeah. With a howling wolf on it.
When is that? The 16th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a giant foam novelty cowboy
hat. Oh,
he asked me to officiate, and that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. Yeah, if I get to wear a giant novelty-sized foam cowboy hat. And I was just joking, but he immediately said, yeah, okay.
And Turd Ferguson. Yeah, it's a funny name. That's so great. Oh, I can't wait for that. Yeah, that's going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
It's at his house, right?
Yeah. I am probably going to move in with his grandma for a while. So to
really?
Go back to Medina all the time. Nice. Yeah. Because then I can still live rent-free.
We need to get you to a reality show.
I would.
Oh, so that would be hilarious. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make her start doing the podcast, but I'm just going to do it like on Facebook Live stuff. And just like follow her around and make her, but she says hilarious shit, and I'll just document it.
I hope you two fall in love.
She's already in love with me. It's already like,
I hope you return the favor.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Tune in.
Open mind.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Cody's grandpa.
Yeah.
Shut up, boy. You backhand him.
Back in my day.
I'm your grandpa, bitch.
Out of my seat, boy.
You start taking off your belt and smacking your hand.
No, I have to do like grandpa stuff, not like mean grandpa, like spoil him grandpa, like just bring him ice cream and shit.
Take him to the like, county fair, buy him a cotton candy.
Lick your thumb and rub his cheek.
Give him like piggyback rides and
it'll be like your lovemaking will be like in the opening scene to Kingpin.
That's how all my lovemaking is already. Oh, what a great movie. My favorite part about that movie was two of like my parents' like older Mormon friends wanted to go see it because Bill Murray was in it, and they like we saw that movie, Bill Murray was in it, and it was disgusting. It just wasn't funny at all. Like, it was so raunchy, and I'm like, I hadn't seen it yet, and I'm like 12 at the time. Yeah. I'm like, can't wait to see this movie. It's gonna be the best
Caddyshack
movie ever.
And Stripes were pretty raunchy too.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And Stripes is not only one of the funniest movies ever made, but still holds up fully today.
Absolutely.
I always thought Stripes was incredibly uneven. From the time they go from boot camp to actually, like, saving
when
the
they
world.
Are in Europe.
Yeah, like
yeah,
that part.
The RV and stuff.
Yeah.
The boot camp stuff is the best, but I have a very deep love for that movie.
They more or less reversed engineered it and just said, Harold Ramis and Bill Murray, here, make a movie about the Army. And they're like, all right.
Yep.
So, like, yeah, they did a good
and
job.
I feel like it's like that movie holds up. Caddyshack, on the other hand, does.
I disagree.
Agreed. I don't think Caddyshack is that funny when I would go back and watch
it.
Oh,
it's hilarious. The fucking Rodney Dangerfield scene.
He's easily the best part.
Easily
the best part. But like the rest of it, like the candy bar scene, that's funny. But
Bill Murray himself is not very funny in that movie.
It's terrible.
Spalding holds up hard.
Yeah.
Spalding's still fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway. Hamburger. No. A cheeseburger.
Anybody that has a hat like that deserves a free bowl of soup. Looks good on you, though. Hey, what? How about a little... I don't even remember.
So what? So was Dance.
A fine chamois.
Oh, look, it's my buddy.
And just the fact that he really had nothing to do with the movie at all was just a guy throwing out one-liners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was on coke the entire fucking time.
Everybody was.
Yeah.
Everybody on that movie was coked out of their
mind. Did you see that Will Forte movie about, what's his name?
Dan Kenny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doug Kenny. He hated Caddyshack. Hated it.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be the big follow-up to Animal House. And he finally got the SNL guys that he thought he was going to have for Animal House.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got Belushi, but he was supposed to have Chevy Chase and a different guy. Dan Aykroyd was supposed to be in it.
Chevy Chase and Bill Murray fucking hated each other, too. And that was like, on the set, like, it was very...
Very tense?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
but it still made like
both those great. Guys are like, especially back then, were like the cool guy type.
Yeah,
and it was all just like,
well, it stemmed, I guess, from so Chevy Chase was on SNL for one season, right? Mm-hmm. And then he left, and Bill Murray was his replacement, and everybody fucking hated Chevy Chase because he was bigger than everybody else. So he came back to guest host the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Murray brought it upon himself to just like sucker punch him in the face.
Oh,
yeah, and they got into like a big brawl. Like on
Bill Murray's another guy who apparently has a very monstrous past.
Yes,
yeah,
he
beating women and shit.
Bit
like
of
that.
A temper on that mm-hmm. guy. I mean, you figure everybody that's like
who
that creative,
even allowed
you know,
to like anymore
can't.
Oh, women. That's what I saw in a tweet. Women can be heroes.
Yep, they can't be monsters at all.
There's a movie called Monster.
Main character. I stand corrected. Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing no women are going to listen to this and get mad at
us. No, exactly. Right. We have yeah. zero women listening.
All someday there will be the emotional Me Too movement where guys get to talk about all the bullshit they had to put up with that will someday hopefully be considered abuse. Because I've been abused by women, but it's more like having to have conversations that I just don't want to have.
I've been groped and grabbed quite a bit.
Oh, yeah? Shows.
Quite a bit. Oh. I've had my butthole touched once. I had a woman swipe her hand up the crack of my bare ass. She reached out. I was wearing looser pants.
Uh-huh.
Reached down the back and swiped her pinky against my butthole.
I believe it. I had a girl break into my house while I was sleeping and then fuck me. Oh, wait. That's rape. Oh, sorry. Women can't rape you. All right, I'm going to cut that out.
Have we ever cut any of these out?
No, we have once. Yeah, one time I said something and I marked it down and cut it out. 21:20, we're cutting that out. And then, you know, the other part, I'm not even getting it. Never mind. Let's move on, please.
So women are great, is what we were saying.
Yes, yes. They don't leave people to be husks of themselves whatsoever. So the Cavs game last night was a giant fucking...
Jeff Green played 27 minutes.
And how many did Kyle Korver play? 19. Why did Kyle Korver not play? Well, let's pull up the old Ty Lue quote that I sent
you. While you're pulling that up... Kevin Love played 31 minutes and Jeff Green played 27.
Kevin Love had a decent game. He was the only one that was trying, at least.
Yeah.
Kevin Love is high energy and is at the very least trying to rebound. I'd like to see him drawing more fouls down on the block. Because
they didn't call shit yesterday, though.
Yeah, I will.
Everybody
agree
got
with that.
There
yeah.
was like six mud. Or seven fouls that they did not call.
Larry Nance, at first glance, I thought got bitched, but Terry Rozier came in and hit him from the side. Because it looked like Morris went after him, he just went flying backwards.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that is a bad look for Larry.
When the game was already fucking over, he dunked. He missed the dunk, but he got fouled hard.
Yeah.
And he was in the restricted area anyways. Like
yeah,
the fucking
and they called it as a charge.
Yeah, it was fucking ridiculous. Garbage. Anyways, so this is, they asked Ty Lue why Kyle Korver didn't play in the first period. He finished with 7 points in 19 minutes. Quote from Ty Lue. Initially, Stevens had been putting Semi Ojeleye in. So that kind of has been Kyle's matchup when he comes into the game, Lue said. Stevens didn't play Ojeleye tonight, so it kind of threw us for a loop. They didn't play Semi Ojeleye, who scored 6 points in the entire series, who's played 36 minutes in the entire series, to Kyle Korver's 94.
Right. And Kyle Korver is not... You don't put him in... As a matchup guy,
no.
You put him in as a 3-point specialist. That's what he does.
And high
second
energy,
best
great
player
defense.
That they have.
Yeah,
he's been playing solid defense.
I agree.
And on top of that, Kevin Love, playing only 31 minutes, he got two fouls kind of early, and so he sits him for like 9 minutes.
Yeah.
He's the worst coach.
And when Korver is his best on the floor with Kevin Love, because they do all this stupid, try to like run picks off of one another.
Meanwhile, you're giving JR all this time, too, as he's clearly struggling.
Mm-hmm.
JR is out there. It's like leaving a pitcher in after he's been shelled.
Oh, yeah.
Just get him out of there.
It was funny. Every time they cut to Ty Lue, though, and he gave his like mouth a gape, I don't know what I'm doing.
His catfish face?
Yeah. LL Cool J was in the background.
It's like, they LL Cool J. Big LA.
So what do you think? Do you think they win tomorrow and go to 7 and
no.
lose?
I think
they're going to lose
tomorrow. I think they go to 7.
I think it's over tomorrow.
Do you think? I'm with Ryan. I think they're still going to go to the finals because that's the painful bullshit we have to go through.
I think it's over tomorrow.
Cavs in 7.
They no way. They're demoralized.
It doesn't matter. No. They've been demoralized before.
LeBron hasn't been that gassed before. He was clearly like he chugged a whole a liter of Pedialyte.
He is in his 15th year, and he's I think at this point one or two games away from tying his record of games in a season.
He's about
to hit the most games he's ever played in a single season, and it's. You know, that was back in when he was in his, second year with the Heat? I think it was 2012. That's six years ago. So do understand because he has been dropping 40 points a night and doing a lot of heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. And last game in Cleveland, he was doing a lot of going to the rack.
Yeah.
It was a very physical game. Yeah.
He did not.
Not in this past game because he looked very clearly gassed.
So then he played fewer minutes this game. He's sleeping in his own bed for two nights. He's going to come out on fire in these next two games. The next two games, he's going to be fine. And then,
we'll get dumb finals.
Yeah,
they play.
Although if they play the Rockets, they might get a couple games. It'll be a much better series. But I just don't see that happening. The Rockets aren't going.
Watch the last 6 minutes of that game.
That was a good
three
game. Yeah.
That was more or less Golden State just going cold.
That was game four.
Game four, you're right.
Because game three is when they won by 41 fucking points. Yeah.
But in game four, they went real cool. Like KD had stuff clanking off the side of the backboard.
But that's the thing. It's like they're vulnerable in ways because they do get into their own heads. And KD isn't an assassin. If he misses a few shots, he can make some bad decisions. So, I mean, I still think they're going to win the series in six, but I mean, at least they lost some games this postseason.
Yeah,
last year they lost one game to us.
And I did a little bit of research, just some stuff to throw out there tonight on the 2016 championship. And if you remember, Clay and Steph did not show up until about game four.
Right,
we lost game one, and Sean Livingston was their leading scorer with 20.
Former Cavs, Sean Livingston.
But like the big thing, and you know, I'm sure
all he had the best move. He's got one of the best highlights of the entire playoffs is when he, crossed, I want to say, somebody up. Like, he just got wide open and threw down a monstrous dunk.
I didn't see that.
It was great.
But that year, 2016, that season, the Warriors had lost three games, including the postseason at home.
Right.
We had to take two.
You're correct.
There's so many different factors leading it to be the most glorious championship.
Right. I was arguing with some dude online about that, and I was like, no matter how many championships the Warriors win, our championship means more because of what we did and who we were against and how we took them apart.
And
it always will.
It was just
honestly
so fucking incredible.
Them winning more championships adds to the legacy of our win.
People want to fucking downgrade it because of people think that the Draymond Green thing was bullshit.
No.
You shouldn't have kicked him in the fucking...
It was his fifth fucking flagrant of the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why he got kicked out, because it was his fifth one, and he hit him in the dick. He had about six other nut shots throughout the goddamn playoffs. This man was just a dick-seeking missile.
Yeah, he sucks.
He sucks. Chris Paul was talking shit on him the other day, and it was great.
Really?
Yeah. They got into it like a bunch of times.
I wish Barkley wouldn't knock him out. 50-something year old Charles Barkley didn't knock him out.
Oh, but that was funny. I will say.
I love how he apologized. He said, "I meant what I said. I meant what I said, but I shouldn't have said it."
No, Draymond.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
I think Draymond was pretty funny in that though. Like, I see you every day. Then punch me. Just punch me. you're right.
Do it. Yeah.
You fucking pussy.
The Indians are up right now, 2-0.
Oh, nice.
Tight against the
score?
World champion.
I don't know. I just saw the score.
So did you guys see the kneeling thing in the NFL and how fucking retarded it is? Like, why? Or like, how did they not think that this would not blow up? Why not just leave it well enough alone? You know what I mean?
Right, like let it just peter out.
Exactly. Why would you?
Because eventually it would just peter out, and that's it. That's it.
Exactly.
Trump supporters that on the team.
That's true, but there's the thing. They keep saying, "Oh, our ratings are declining." Blah blah blah. Because it's too much political bullshit or whatever. Okay, so you're gonna implement a policy that panders to your the part of your fan base that's gonna be dead in 20 years. Like, you're alienating the younger fans that want to watch the fucking NFL. You dipshits.
And you're also gonna watch the NFL.
Yeah, but you're also like, your ratings have dipped a little bit, but it's not because of the protests. The ratings are dipping because...
You've covered up killing people for so
long. Well, no, it's not even that. It's just people watch games differently. That's just true, like, as well. Like, on the radio, we constantly have to readjust to what ratings mean and how we're accumulating those ratings, sure, because people consume media in different ways. And, like, podcasts and YouTube and...
Sure,
and
absolutely.
All those things play into it. So when it comes to NFL, I don't watch TV. I don't watch the NFL on TV. I watch it on Red Zone, and that doesn't count towards ratings.
Right, right, right.
Like, they're still getting revenue because I paid for Red Zone, but it doesn't show up as ratings because it's a different thing.
They're so out of touch. And, you know, the fucked up thing about it is because, like, why would you do it? Like, you're just bringing more attention to yourself. They didn't want, like, Trump to say anything, right? What do you think he's gonna fucking say?
Of course, yeah. Like, he said that if you kneel, you should be deported.
Exactly! Like, dude, like, honestly, just paying attention to the news. Like, I'm deleting everything off my phone. Just stop.
It's too
zoning out. Like,
it's too,
like,
infuriating.
It,
it's horrible.
It's not infuriating. Like, it drives me, like, fucking nuts. Yeah, like, it's crazy when we're living in, man.
I've laid off of current events quite a bit.
But you're constantly surrounded by it. Like, there's no getting away from it. You know what I mean? Pretty much.
I just watch superhero movies and Star Wars. So that's what I've been doing lately.
Infinity War was incredible. I haven't seen Deadpool 2 yet.
Deadpool 2 was good. It wasn't as good as the first one, but it was good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is Rob Delaney in that?
Is he the one that plays the dude, the regular dude? Yeah, yeah, he is. It's very good.
Did you ever hear how Rob Delaney got his set on Kimmel scrubbed from the internet?
No.
Yeah. Because remember when he was
the,
like,
Twitter guy, right?
Yeah. Remember when, like, in 2011, when Twitter was first started, and he was, like, the biggest, like, Twitter star.
Yeah.
I was like, he's a stand-up comic.
Man, he's got millions.
Yeah, which he wasn't really a stand-up comic. No. But, like,
funny.
Yeah,
his tweets were
funny.
Fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm not taking that away from him. But, so, like, he went on the stand-up tour or whatever, and he promoted it on Kimmel, and, like, he bombed really bad. So his agency, yeah, he had, like, deals, like, in place for, like, a book and movies. His agency scrubbed it from fucking... You can't find it on the internet. You can find it on, like, you know, those weird off-sea sites,
yeah,
or whatever.
Uh-huh. But in his defense, everybody bombed on Kimmel. Like, Kimmel doesn't even have comics on anymore. It was, like, my buddy J. Chris Newberg, that's, like, he's done, like, The Tonight Show and stuff like that. Basically, I think, the same set. And Kimmel was just... That audience just didn't dig stand-up comics.
Really?
So, it's... It's not just him that's bombed on there. Like, I think there's a good amount of sets of comics that bombed on Kimmel, and that I think they just stopped doing stand-up altogether on there.
And that's fair, but it was particularly bad.
Yeah.
So.
And most night set, like, I don't like those late night sets. Most of the time, they're not good. Because they take a set that you've worked on and go, okay, change this, change this,
right,
change this.
Oh,
like,
no, you're right.
Well, why would you change? Like, let me do it the way I'm supposed to do it so it feels good and natural and I don't have to rework everything. Every once in a while someone goes on and, like,
Shane Torres.
Fucking, yeah,
Shane Torres fucking killed on Conan.
Yeah. Gary Gulman's set when he did that role-playing bit.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is one of my all-time favorite stand-up comedy bits is Gary Gulman talking about role-playing with his girlfriend and a college professor. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
He goes into such maniacal
detail. Yeah.
It is amazing.
I want you to get your grades up so you can pass, so you stop wasting your parents' money. It's so fucking good. I got papers to grade.
Balls.
Speaking of...
what is he... His through line on that is... strict but fair. Is that it?
Yeah. But I hear he's a Jew. He's either a Jew or he's had the flu the past 4 Rosh Hashanahs.
He's a very funny comedian.
Oh, he's so funny.
We saw him on opening day, but I fell asleep because I was not having...
Yeah.
Roy Wood Jr.'s at at Hilarities this week.
Yeah. Yes, Josh is opening for him.
Yeah. He's one of the best out there.
He's great. He is I don't know. I haven't he's watched. Black. I don't watch that show at all. But
I featured like, he is on Orny Adams. Right?
How is that?
He is like a draw. First of all, mm-hmm. he like got a good amount of people.
Teen Wolf.
And that it wasn't just Teen Wolf. There was a lot of older people.
Oh, that's the comedian crowd.
I don't think people liked that.
Well, he did also have a Showtime special, so.
Yeah, and his stuff is a lot of complaining about young people.
Yeah.
And he is somehow 47 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He looks fucking incredible for
his
age. It's crazy.
Wasn't he that Seinfeld documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently, I haven't seen it, but apparently he comes off bad.
I've seen it, and it's... He just comes off, he's a little excitable. He was funny on it, though. Like, I thought he was funny, but he gives some interview clips that just sound ridiculous. And it's very fun to watch the DVD with the commentary on.
I heard that.
Yeah, and it's very good. But he's been on our show before and stuff. He's cool.
He fucking murdered those crowds. Yeah. He was getting at least some form of standing ovation every single show.
Really?
And I have only seen one other guy get regular standing ovations, and it was
Greg Morton?
No.
Greg Proops?
Craig. Oh, God, what is it? Craig something
Shoemaker?
Shoemaker. Craig Shoemaker.
I was listening to Rogan one time with fucking Dom Irrera, and he said, I will never talk shit on another comic except fuck Craig Shoemaker.
Really?
I don't know.
He was... I actually had to fill in because that first night he brought in... he was just having an opener to do five.
Yeah.
And he brought in Brent Celek's ex-wife, who he met at something because he did stuff with the NFL, and she said she was doing comedy. He's like, yeah, come with me. And then she, bombed really hard. The fucking former tight end for the Eagles.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So he brings her, and she bombs. And then the next morning, she texts him. She goes, I left last night. I had to go home. I can't do this. Bye. So they
she just gave up on her dreams.
And he does this bit that I guess he's been doing for a while, but, like, it murdered. Where he's going, like, back and forth. He, like, picks a couple guys out and is like, make the noise that you used to make for, like, a gun noise. And people, like, would make.
Sure.
There's pretty much four noises. Like, pow, 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 shit like that. Yeah. And he would, like, go back and forth, and people would be struggling to breathe, and then he would get a full blown standing ovation at the end of the show.
Really?
Every single show.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yeah.
That standing ovation shit is not easy.
Oh no.
That is not easy. And like even like got like Bert Kreischer wasn't getting those telling the Machine Story and stuff like that. Like he'll get like some people, but there's also I think a generational thing where older people are more likely to give the standing ovation.
Oh, absolutely.
Younger crowds, they're just like clapping and they're like
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, Ramone used to have
filming this.
Yeah. Ramone used to have that bit about like the hipster, like
flipping their hair around. Yeah.
It's true though. Like
very true.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Did something just happen else in the NFL?
Yeah, the kneeling.
The Browns thing. Got Hard Knocks.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about that. So fucking excited about that.
I'm pretty excited.
I love Hard Knocks.
That's 4 years too late, but I'm sure it'll still be entertaining.
It'll be great.
This is the most entertaining crew they could have put out there. Is fucking these.
I don't know. Johnny Manziel would have been very fun on Hard Knocks, but I think this is going to be very good because you're going to have
Josh Gordon, Baker Mayfield.
That the competition between them. You got Greg Williams as a coach. You got Todd Haley coming in. You have a dude that was arrested not that long ago, like Callaway, right? Oh, yeah.
Callaway.
Yeah.
Do you know
one of the dudes is I've been looking into Callaway and watching his play and shit like that. I'm pretty jacked. I'm pretty stoked.
He's pretty good. There's a reason they made that decision.
Yeah, they're like I saw his stats and it was only like three or four receiving touchdowns, but like several rushing touchdowns, several punt and kick return touchdowns. The dude is just like a playmaker.
Yeah, his escape speed from getting away from a rape charge is like fast as fuck.
Now, I'm not going to comment on that one. Just, due process. It all seems very shady, but sure. I don't know any details about the situation other than the fact that the judge was a beater. I know nothing else.
Coincidence.
It is pretty safe to assume he did something shitty, but... until he does something shitty and gets caught, whatever. And then the other guy,
rape apologist Brian Kenny.
You heard it here first, folks.
Okay, let's just destroy me. Thanks, guys.
Hey, our promising army career. Of white males will all be done. Fine.
Hey, listen, put your helmet back on and fucking take over Tatooine, all right?
Tatooine?
Whatever. What's the Darth? That was a Darth Vader joke, you fucking bald-headed fuck.
Poorly executed.
I know. Yeah, really I've never seen Star Wars. I thought you would Tatooine? Get it. Whatever. Tatooine.
Tatooine.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm the fucking faggot here because I didn't know the fucking. You didn't know in the third squadron.
What? No, but what you should know as a comedian, if you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, don't try to make the joke.
Whatever. You both are dead to me.
I'm also very excited about Jannard Avery. I really am. I've read into him. I watched some of his highlights and shit. He was a beast. That linebacker we got out of Memphis.
Nice.
He had like 22 tackles for a loss and 8.5 sacks last year.
Fuck yeah.
What round did he go in?
Fourth. And he was like fifth. And he was a projected third to fourth guy. Some people were saying he might creep into the second.
They'll be all right. I mean, I don't know. Again, they win two games.
I'm just excited for it to. Yeah, that's the thing. There's nowhere to go but up.
No. You know who Hugh Jackson's demeanor reminds me of? Did you ever see that movie with Ed Helms and the guy from The Wire? And it's like something Kansas.
I love that movie.
Yeah, what's
Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious. That's a great movie.
Fucking Hugh reminds me of, I do a great impression of Omar from The Wire.
That guy was in The Wire. That's why I know. Exactly. So funny.
Yeah, yeah. But like just his demeanor in that movie. Because he is the fucking corniest motherfucker
and
on
fuck
Earth.
Him for doing the Lake Erie jump.
A media event
in
only.
June.
Yeah, exactly.
And as a closed event.
That's why nobody likes him. He's gonna if they start at 0-3, he's going to be fired. So I don't understand why they didn't fire him at the fucking beginning or the end of last year.
But he goes 3-0.
All right. All right. What if he does?
See, I don't want to lose Greg Williams.
One of them will be on the staff.
I mean, typically when you bring in a new head coach, it is like if they would have fired him in the offseason, Greg Williams would have been gone. And typically, you know.
But what if
you don't want to leave?
What if they
Greg
fire
Williams
him after three games, and then Greg Williams is interim, and then he?
No, I think Todd Haley would be. I don't think Greg Williams wants to be a head coach anymore.
Okay.
You mean Greg Williams, the guy that played fucking what's his name, 25 yards off the ball? That guy, fucking defensive genius.
I don't know how I feel about Jabril Peppers. It was like. For me, last year, like, yeah, okay, free safety's way out of position. That guardian angel role that they had him in, apparently he did it with Sean Taylor, too, and the learning curve for DBs is steep. So if you're going to switch a guy to a totally different position, when he pretty much played linebacker in college.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So strong safety would have been much more comfortable, I'm sure, for him. And being near the line of scrimmage would have been more comfortable, but you got a different guy that you think is, you know, like there's no other free safety, you think this is your best option, or your best combination between free and strong safety, fine. If you want to play him back, I don't totally get why you want to do that, but at the same time, I sort of get why you would want to protect him by having him have that much cushion in the first place. My big thing with Jabril Peppers is, remember the preseason when that dude was fielding punt and kick returns?
Oh, yeah.
And looking fucking electric like he did at Michigan, and then not one slight glimmer of that, not the slightest flash in the regular season with the ball in his hands? Like, what the fuck was that? What was this drop-off?
They haven't had a punt returner since Josh Gribbs.
Like did you see the change?
Travis Benjamin real quick.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Did you see the changes to the kickoff?
No.
Okay, so they changed the rules for the kickoff. So you have to have five guys on each side. You have to have certain guys inside the numbers. And you can't – there's like a no-hit zone. And they also moved it so the blockers can't – there's only three guys back. So kickoffs are going to be exciting again because – it's going to be more of a punt return than a kickoff.
Okay. I don't totally understand what you're describing.
Yeah, there's basically everybody on the return team has to play further up. You can only have three guys back.
I see what you're saying.
And then on the other side, you have the kicker, and then you have five guys on each side. Before, you could load one side and kick the ball to one side and overload the return team. And
they can only go to one side after the ball is kicked?
No, they can. Well, that's what they would do, is they'd have four guys on one side and they have six guys on the other, and they kick the ball to the side with six guys and just fucking.
Okay, then.
And they no more running starts. So before they could do the running start on the kickoff team.
So you have to kick and then they can run.
Yeah. Which gives them a lot more time to open things up and make kickoffs exciting again.
Why don't you just give everybody universal health care and then you can make it as dangerous as fucking possible?
I don't think these guys being able to afford health care is the issue.
It was just all the guys getting hurt every fucking kickoff.
No, you're right. But no, it was because they want to keep making the game safer, but they wanted to keep making the game safer after it came out that they were hiding all that data for years and years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you were upfront about it, like, these are the risks, this is what we're going to do for you.
Well, yeah, transparency is always the best thing. Like, if you are just honest about shit from the beginning rather than... And it was just their way of not having to pay all the guys that murdered themselves all those years for all their injuries.
I don't know, man.
But like, then they ended up having huge lawsuits anyway, so...
I do like thinking that I'm always going to watch the NFL, but, like, it does. I never thought I'd be one of those guys, like, I'm not going to watch the NFL. But it gets harder and harder. Like, the whole fucking kneeling thing, man. Like, I can't get over how insane this fucking... Like, the psychosis that the president, like, has given everybody.
Yeah.
And it's bled into everyday life. Like, I just don't want to kind of be a part of it. Like, it's gross, man.
It is gross. I agree.
I don't know.
I'm still going to watch, but I think it's so stupid how people go along with whatever their side, like, and you, like, if you are kneeling, you're disrespecting the flags and troop, and then you're so tone deaf to why they're actually doing it and, like, don't want to hear it and it just taking up that narrative that they're trying to disrespect the troops and... that it's so disrespectful. Like, it's so aggravating to have to hear that from people.
You have to even listen, because they
won't... And then be like, well, they're actually honoring the flag in a way. It's just not the way you honor the flag. And they're like, no, it's only one way! It's so fucking stupid.
It drives me fucking crazy. It's like we live in two different planets.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's because the fucking wigged Pizza Hut spokesman is our fucking goddamn president.
Mm-hmm. I want some Pizza Hut.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's
unless that crust is stuffed, Pizza Hut's trash.
No.
Unless you stuff the crust.
Oh yeah, yeah. I agree. Pizza Hut's the worst chain. That
shit is disgusting. Unless it's stuffed.
100%. Then it's fucking. Their crust is the worst out of all the fucking.
Unless
chains.
You stuff that shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, that's a big.
They have like pretzel crust that you can get stuffed and. I ate that for a week.
Their sauce is gross. I'll take Poo Poo John's.
Poo Poo John's is good, but like I have to really cover it in that garlic butter.
Yeah, that garlic butter does makes it. Save it.
It does the same for a Hot and Ready's. When you get a Hot and Ready, you can have them open the pizza box and cover it in garlic butter and Parmesan. Now, these are fat guy secrets that I've known for a long time and can't really utilize anymore. But that and I'd say the mac sauce on a McDouble were my two big moves.
Did you ever do the quesadilla burrito at Chipotle?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, I've always heard legend of
it. Yeah, that's not that
it's
great.
More or less all you're doing is pissing off the people making your burrito.
Right.
It's a very thin layer of cheese.
At Taco Bell, I like the cheesy gordita crunch with the Doritos Locos Nacho cheese shell. For the inside shell.
That's not a bad.
That's never
a
done
very
that.
Good one. That's a very good one.
Do you think the how you interview at Chipotle, they're like, do you have a VHS copy of The Crow? Yes? Welcome aboard.
I always, like, when I would go to Chipotle, I always like to start off with, like, I want double rice. Just let them know I want a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get the guacamole, they'll tell me it's extra. I'll be like, yeah, but I want you to put on as much as you possibly can. I'll say these words to them.
You gotta
hold their hand and walk them through it. I don't care if they get pissy.
I
want you to make me a real burrito.
I like the people that put the burrito in the bowl and then, like, get it fucking, like, just ridiculous 6 days worth of calories and then get another burrito wrapped up in foil to, like, I don't know, dip into or something like that.
Yeah, why not?
Why? That's too much food. How is that, like... I don't know, man.
Maybe if food was your happiness and not alcohol, you'd this room would be clean right now.
You're right.
Solid point.
You know what, Bill? I like the cut of your jib, and maybe I want to subscribe.
Yeah, you've never been over 300 pounds. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what 5,000 calories on being the light end of things is like.
Yeah,
I've never been over 170 pounds. It's pretty glorious, but
170.
Yeah,
I haven't been 170 pounds since the seventh grade.
Yeah. I weigh 151 right now, and this is the heavy. Well,
eighth or ninth grade because I was a late bloomer. But
I walked into high school with 210 pounds, And like that was what I started.
I wasn't on a lot of scales.
I mean football I had to weigh in every year, so yeah. I weighed in freshman year at 210, and then sophomore year at 245, junior year at 275, senior year at 300.
300. Where were you?
And then like while in the recruiting stage was at 315.
That's solid. That's a solid build.
Strong like bull. The knees started going bad. Yeah. So I had to drop some weight. My coach kept trying to get me to lose more weight, but like in my head I'm like, you recruited me at 300 pounds. I can play at 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. So let me get past this. Mm-hmm. And I never got past it.
Fair enough. All right, we're done here. It's been fucking almost an hour, and people,
you we guys rule. Got
some shit to Let's do. Go watch the tribe.
Hey, love you, everybody. Like and subscribe.
And rate it.
Poop and pee, go Browns.
At I am Brian Kenny at Bill Squire.
Bye. 3-2 now. Shit.